Today we continue in the book of Daniel, but time has moved on and it's a good number of years later. And we're in Daniel chapter 5. So if you have a Bible with you and you want to have it open on those pages, it's Daniel chapter 5. Daniel and his friends are still in Babylon, but there is a new king on the throne, Belshazzar, who is a descendant of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the theme for this episode in the story is, as we heard Sandra tell us, the writing on the wall. So let's listen and watch and see what happens. Thank you, Eddie.
The writing on the wall, Daniel 5. God had allowed his people, the Jews, to be attacked by another country because of their sin. Prince Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Judah and took their smartest people captive. Daniel was one of those captives. 8 years later, Nebuchadnezzar returned and took the temple treasures and part of the royal family back to Babylon. 11 years after his second invasion, Nebuchadnezzar returned and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and took most of the Jews back to Babylon. Daniel studied the Babylonian language and laws and many other subjects. He served in the king's palace in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar eventually died. 5 kings ruled after him. Belshazzar was the last Babylonian king to rule in Babylon. Belshazzar hosted a party for 1,000 of his officials. He ordered his servants to bring the gold and silver cups Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem 58 years earlier. As they drank from the cups stolen from God's house, they praised their false idols made out of gold and silver, bronze and iron, and wood and stone. They believed their gods had helped them conquer the Jews. Suddenly, a hand appeared and began writing on the wall. The king watched in great fear as the hand wrote a message to him that he did not understand. Belshazzar was so scared that his knees were knocking together. The king called in his wise men and said, "I will reward anyone who can explain this message to me. I will give him purple robes and a gold chain to wear. I will even appoint him to the third highest position in the kingdom after my father and me." None of the wise men could give the meaning of the writing. The words on the wall confused them. Now Belshazzar was even more afraid. The queen heard the commotion and came to the banquet room. "Oh, king, may you live forever. Don't be afraid. I know a man who has the spirit of the holy God in him. He interpreted dreams for King Nebuchadnezzar. His name is Daniel. Call for him and he will tell you what the message means." The king's men found Daniel and brought him to the banquet room. The king made the same promise to Daniel that he had made to the other wise men. Daniel would be the third highest ruler in Babylon and receive the robes and gold chain if he could read and explain the writing. Daniel said to the king, "I don't need your gifts. Keep them or give them to someone else. I will interpret the writing without reward." Daniel began telling Belshazzar about Nebuchadnezzar's power and great wealth. All the nations were afraid of him and his mighty army. One day, Nebuchadnezzar gave himself credit for all his power and wealth. God was not pleased with Nebuchadnezzar's pride. God took away the king's power and made him think he was an animal. For years, the king lived outdoors and ate grass like an ox until finally he gave credit to God for his wealth and power. He had learned that the Most High God gives kingdoms to whomever he wishes, but he can also take them away. Belshazzar knew what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar, but it didn't keep Belshazzar from thinking he was something special. He gave praise to gods who are not real. He should have humbled himself and given praise to God, the one who had the power over his life, even his ability to breathe. Daniel read the words on the wall and gave their meanings. The word "meni" means God has determined your kingdom's end. The word "tekel" means you have been weighed in the balances and have been found wanting. The word "peres" means your kingdom has already been divided between the Medes and the Persians. This was not good news. Belshazzar's worst fears were about to come true. Even so, his servants put a purple robe on Daniel and a gold chain around his neck. Belshazzar appointed Daniel as the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very same night, Belshazzar was killed by the Medes and the Persians, who had surrounded Babylon while Belshazzar partied. They marched into the city and took over the Babylonian kingdom. A Mede named Darius became the new king. King Darius liked Daniel and made him one of the top rulers in his new kingdom. The account of the handwriting on the wall teaches us that God has power over all rulers on earth. It also teaches us to humble ourselves before God and to praise Him rather than ourselves. God alone is worthy of our praise. His power is limitless, and all His ways are perfect.
It's a fun little depiction of the story, isn't it? It is a fun little depiction, but it does have a big, serious message. I quote from the video, Belshazzar knew what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar, but it didn't keep Belshazzar from thinking that he was something special. He gave praise to gods who were not real. He should have humbled himself and given praise to God, the one who had the power over his life, even his ability to breathe. That's a summary of the human condition right there, isn't it? We know about it, and we have seen the errors of those who've gone before us. We're often aware of our own past wrongdoing and ungodly attitudes. And yet we persist. We persist in our attitude of pride, continuing to think that it is all about us. We are, of course, something special, so to speak, but we're not something special in our own right. We're special because we're made in the image of the all-powerful and living God. It's He who has put breath in our lungs. He who has given us the ability to walk and talk, to think and work and play. It's the Lord God who has made us special. And yet so often we forget this, like Belshazzar putting our pleasure before His praise, demonstrating our pride instead of right humility before our perfect and all-powerful God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, for all his faults, realized this and was restored. Belshazzar, however, as we've just heard, refused and paid the price for his pride and for his mockery of God. And there are many battles going on in our society today around us. Some are worth fighting, some perhaps not. But it's the battle within us, the battle between our own pride and a rightful attitude of humility before a perfect and all-powerful God, that's a battle we cannot fail to pay attention to, because there are consequences. God, who has power over all rulers and authorities, is also the judge of our hearts. He is holy, and as the story has shown, He will not be mocked. We therefore need to look inside our own hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of our selfishness and our pride. We need to say sorry and to submit our lives to God's power and authority instead of setting ourselves up in opposition to Him. As the prophet Isaiah says, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver. The second half of this verse, however, states, the Lord is our King, and it is He who will save us. He's a king who we heard back in our reading from Psalm 103 at the start of the service, a king who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He is a king who has received and has received us, and he has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, through the humility and sacrifice of his own son, Jesus Christ, who, despite his majesty, took on the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so the battle for our hearts and our lives has been won through the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. And as he gave his life for us, Jesus demonstrated that we are indeed something special in God's eyes, but that it's not all about us, and it is all about him. And so this morning, we need to come, as we need to every day, with an attitude of humility and repentance before our all-powerful and yet compassionate, gracious, and loving God. And so we're going to take a bit of time now just to listen to this next song, to be still, to humble ourselves before our holy God, to say sorry for our pride and our self-centeredness, and just to remember that if we are followers of Jesus, this life that he's given us is in fact all about him. So Eddie's going to play a song, both for us in the building and at home. It is quite long, but let's just use it to be still and to take the chance to listen, to pray ourselves, and to reflect. Thank you, Eddie.
It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways. Jesus, lover of my soul, all-consuming fire is in I will follow you all my life.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we just want to say you alone are God, and we want to surrender to you. We surrender our lives as individuals, as followers, and we surrender collectively as your church, your body, Lord God. We look to you as our head, as our guide, as our wisdom, as our inspiration, as our Redeemer. And we thank you, and we do want it all to be about you, Lord Jesus. Amen.